Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today, I want to talk to you about what are you saving in your house for yourself for memories? 2 weeks ago, we talked about what do you save for your children, and last week we talked about what do you save when a parent or a spouse or a child passes away. And today, I thought it would round out the series to talk about, like, what are you saving for yourself that you could get rid of? Or I guess I didn't even know really what the whole point of the podcast and post would be, but it seemed pretty logical that if we were going to talk about what your kids wanted to save and what you would save when people passed away, we would talk about our own stuff and what we save in our house. Now, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I was supposed to record this podcast at least 5 other times, and every time I found something different to do other than record this podcast. One day, I spent the entire day cleaning my house, doing all of the laundry. Like, I procrastinated like I never procrastinate. Like, I'm pretty good at, even if there's something that's challenging, I might procrastinate the first time I do it, but the second time, I just buckle down and get it done. And this post and podcast have been procrastinated to the point that I cannot procrastinate it anymore. Like, if I don't record it today, it's not going to get edited in time to be online by Friday. And I say that to you because I'm going to go through and talk to you about 11 things that I am going to declutter after this podcast. But to let you know that this, number one, is not easy. Number two, it may not be where you are in your stage of life yet. But I think just my talking through the process of these 11 things that we are going to declutter and how I'm looking at our stuff in our house will really help you with why you have the clutter that you have. Okay, so first of all, when I was thinking about this podcast, how was I going to start it? Why am I having such a hard time? What's going on here? Here's the deal. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but here's the deal. I redecorate my kids' rooms every 3 years, like completely new paint, paintings, sometimes furniture, whatever. Like, they get a whole new bedroom every 3 years because I think it's so fun. And I look at their bedrooms kind of like their apartments, and all of their stuff fits in their bedroom. And my husband has like zero hobbies. He fishes and he golfs. So he has one fishing box. He has 2 golf bags, maybe 3 because he has my father's and his stepfather's who passed away. Otherwise, he has 1 set of golf clubs, 1 set of golf shoes. Like, he just doesn't have a lot of stuff. He has his own Sunday basket. He has some clutter on top of his dresser and his nightstand and a couple drawers in the garage. That's all he has of stuff. And he doesn't really want more stuff. It's just how he is. So I have the entire house. Like, the entire house is my domain. And maybe you are like me. I walked around the house this morning. I have dishes that have been out there on the counter that I haven't washed for 24 hours. It looks like a hot mess. In the laundry room, I had completed all the laundry and actually put it all away, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that I never finished folding or putting away, like maybe 20 pairs of socks, a couple of other random things I just pulled out of the dryer. Never really finished that. On the bathroom counter, I have Epsom salts my husband bought me. I put one in the container we have. The other one I never put away. A couple other things I had gotten out during the week, never really put them away. The bed is not made. There are piles over on my desk. Downstairs on the kitchen counter is a new wreath that I'm making for the spring. I have stuff put there. If you go in the basement, there are different piles of various stages of things that I'm selling on Etsy. If you go in the storage room, we just got a new air conditioner and heating system on Thursday. I'm recording this on Sunday. I moved everything out of their way for the people, but there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that I never put back, and half of it after this podcast is going to go to Goodwill anyway. So basically, any room you walk into in this house, there are some tasks there that I haven't finished, right? So what is my pet peeve and what's the thing I'm going to harp on and not let my daughter go to the movie until she does? Putting away the makeup in her bath, in our community bathroom, to the point that I will think all day about, well, she doesn't put away the makeup. So we need to have a reward and a discipline system for the makeup. Like, I'll pay her if the makeup is put away all week, or I will take money away if it's not put away all week. You know what? Maybe she just needs to do her makeup in her bedroom, but she says she doesn't have good lighting. So I'll hire an electrician to come in and put in track lighting in her room. And then I'll buy these special light bulbs I know about that are actually like supposed to be like the same spectrum as the sun. And then she'll be able to do the makeup in her room, and then it'll be out of the main living space and everything will stay neat and organized because her makeup will now be in her bedroom. However, that doesn't stop the fact that I never really finished the laundry. I haven't done the dishes, you know, all those other things I said. But because I know when I'm going to get to those projects, or I'm busy, you know, I'm working for crying out loud. I'm not just playing on my phone all day or taking allowance money from my parents going to movies. You know, I'm okay. It's okay if I make the messes because I know when they're going to get done and it's my house. So I'm telling you this because number one, I just think it's so true. Like, this is how I think. I think this is how other mothers think. I look around and I see two pairs of shoes and a pair of socks strewn in the living room, and I'm ready to bite my daughter's head off. But if you look around at the messes I have, it would take me 30 to 45 minutes to clean up my own, or three whopping minutes to pick up what's, you know, left out in the living room, which probably Hunter has dragged in there anyway. So I think when I went to record this podcast, I wanted to start by saying that, like, it is so easy to look around this house and harp on the things that I want Greg or the kids to get rid of, but everything in this house that is mine, well, why would I get rid of that? Like, it's my house, it's my stuff, it's displayed where I want it, it's stored how I want it. Why would I get rid of it? But the purpose of this podcast, when I was thinking about, okay, this is the third in a series, is that what if something happens to me tomorrow and I'm gone and my husband and my kids have to deal with every single thing that's in, legitimately, my house, because 85% of what's in this house is mine or came from my childhood or I bought or I brought in here or I created or I projected up. When you pass away, every single thing that you ever touch takes on so much meaning. And what I've noticed in compiling this list of 11 things that I'm going to get rid of is that a lot of these things have meaning, and I'm going to tell you the meaning behind all of them, but the thing no longer holds the meaning. So I'm going to start with some easy ones. The first thing that I'm going to get rid of are fake trees. Now, Carol, who organizes with me, is going to like applaud like crazy. When she met me four years ago, and she wandered through my house, I had a fake tree in every single house, every single room of the house. You know, those fake trees that are in those little wicker basket pots. I had three big ones and two small ones and then a bush. I had them everywhere in the house. And she's like, what are these? I'm like, well, they're fake trees. You know, you have to have a fake tree in every room of the house. Now, how I got these fake trees was I got them from my parents' house. So they legitimately bought them probably in the early 80s when people actually did decorate with fake trees. I got them when they upgraded their decorating to what was probably current in the 90s. I took all the fake trees. I was so excited. And I took them to our new house that we bought in 1996. And I put them in our house. And now they're all shoved in the storage room because Hunter likes to go and grab all the moss out of the fake trees. So as soon as we got the dog, we put all of those in the storage room. And I was looking at those the other day. I actually went on a walkthrough, and there's a client's house that we're organizing, and in her basement, she had no less than 20 fake trees and plants. Now, she at least had pulled them out of her decorating. She realized it was no longer in style, but she didn't know what to do with them because these silly trees, they were like $89 a piece when you bought them, like a lot of money, 35 years ago. I don't need these fake trees anymore. Even when Hunter won't pull the stuff out of the fake trees, like I just went to Kirkland's and Pier 1 before I started this podcast. And as I was walking around Pier 1, I realized, they don't even sell fake trees. Well, there's your sign. They have these big, huge, awesome vases with these stems that come out of them and all these different kind of stems. And that's when I realized I have not been in a store in 6 to 7 years. Like, I have not walked around Pier 1 or Kirkland's or Home Goods or any of those stores in like 6, 7, 8 years. My life has been, I've been so in survival mode, taking care of my kids and my parents and the jobs. I don't shop anymore, like ever. I never go shopping. And if I do, it's with a list and I'm in and out there as fast as humanly possible. Like, I am not decoratively shopping. I just wandered around that store for 30 minutes today. It was so fun. I was like, oh my gosh, I like that little peacock. And isn't that such a cool couch? And I love elephants and giraffes. I should have elephants and giraffes in my house. And I really looked around the house and realized I decorated this house between 20 and 12 years ago. And about 12 years ago, I stopped decorating it. Everything we have is at least 12 years old in our house. And a lot of it needs to be replaced. And so I realized I'm going to go around the house and I'm getting rid of the fake trees. All right, number two is jewelry. So last week in the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, you were supposed to organize your jewelry and your accessories. And I've organized mine 3 years in a row. But when I really looked at my jewelry last week, I was realizing that I have a lot of nice jewelry, real silver, real gold, some from my grandmother and my mother, given as gifts from my husband. Like, I have a lot of nice jewelry. I tend to wear the trendy jewelry right now and not real gold jewelry, but I do sometimes wear my real gold jewelry. Now, I have a lot of gold jewelry that I probably will never wear again because, one, I have more than I can humanly wear, and I wear the same exact thing every single day. My daughter's style is not mine, and I do have a few heirloom pieces I want to pass on to her, but really, if I passed on this jewelry that does have value, but it's, you know, a thin necklace or a small pearl, that's not her style, doesn't really fit her body type, it's just going to get broken or trashed, and it has value. And so I took all of the pieces that I know I will legitimately not put on and wear anymore, and I have bagged it to take to Greg's uncle, who is a jeweler, to have him melt it all and give me the value of that gold and silver. And I want to have a sapphire ring made. I have been talking about this for 10 years. I wanted it for our 10th anniversary, and then last year was our 20th anniversary. I've not gotten this sapphire ring yet, and I don't mean to sound like a little spoiled brat or anything, but like, I want a sapphire ring on my left hand. That's what I would like to have in addition to my wedding ring someday. And so it makes sense now to have all of this jewelry that I have from my childhood and hand-me-downs that I'm not going to wear melted and put into a sapphire ring. And all I need to buy then is the sapphire because he's an artist jeweler. So he'll actually make the mold and pour all of that actual gold into the ring. And then whatever extra he has, he'll use in some other project, but I'll get the value of the gold. So, I'm getting rid of fake trees. I'm getting rid of all that jewelry that I don't normally wear. Now, here's a funny one. In college, my senior year, I had two majors and a minor. So, I majored in early childhood education, and I was a certified teacher first through eighth grade, and then I got a minor in kindergarten education. So, I am certified birth through eighth grade to teach any grade level. And my project was I created a corporate daycare center as my end of the year project. I picked out every single toy that was going to be in every room. I created the budget and everything. This is like 23 years ago now. My grandfather, who passed away last year at the age of 103, when I graduated from college, so he would have been 80, he made drawings of this corporate daycare center, like legitimate, you could build this corporate daycare center from the drawings he did because he was a engineer. It's the coolest thing. I have told so many people about these plans that he made for this corporate daycare center, and I still have the binder of that program that I made and the plans that my grandpa drew. And so many times I have thought, I need to declutter this. I really don't need this anymore. But I love that I put so much time into that project that I was able to actually figure out what you would need, all the different pieces and parts to start a business when I was 22. And then my grandfather made that into actual legitimate drawings. Like we could go and actually build that. Like I love that. And being a business owner, I just love that it goes that far back, that my ideas and somebody believed in me enough to draw the drawings. I have told that story probably 20 times, but you know what I have never once done? Shown anybody the blueprints. And the only time I've ever looked at the blueprints was when he gave it to me 23 years ago. So I'm going to get rid of the binder. I'm going to take the blueprints and take pictures of them, and I'm going to get rid of them. And then I'll save the pictures. Another thing that I have a lot of, and I really, as my tastes are changing in design and I'm ready to do some new design projects in the house and really update a lot of things, I have a lot of figurines. I have Yadros. I have Hummels. I have a bunch of different Waterford pieces, which I still love all of the Waterford. But the Yadros and the Hummels, my grandmother collected Hummels and my mother collected Yadros. So as a child, I loved those things and I knew they had value. And so I wanted them because I loved my mother and my grandmother. I knew they had value. They were special. Everyone in our family had those specific figurines. I don't have very many of them. I think I have 4 Hummels and 4 Yadros. And I could tell you where I got every single one. So like I have these two little bunny Yadros. and or two little chicks. Grandma gave me those. And then I have this bigger bunny and he's on a little twig. And my great grandfather, who died when I was in eighth grade, gave me that one. And then I have this Hummel of these two little kids looking over this crib with a little baby in it. And my grandmother gave me that when I had my first baby, or my mother gave it to me when I had my first baby, because her mother gave it to her when she had her first baby. So all these have a lot of meaning, but they're just tchotchkes on my shelf that need to be dusted all the time. And I love the memories of them, but I don't love seeing them every day. So I don't think I'm going to get rid of these, but I do think that I'm going to box up. For sure, the Yadros don't have as much meaning for me as the Hummels. The Hummels will probably stay out, but I think I'm going to box up the Yadros, and I may be ready to actually get rid of them. Okay, the next one has been coming for a couple of years, and this one is, I'm going to get rid of most of my books. So a few years ago when I wrote the post in the 40 Weeks One Whole House Challenge about organizing your bookshelves, it was really hard for me to get rid of books. And then I posted about how I've kind of moved from real hardcover books to ebooks, and how it's getting easier for me to get rid of books because I have the ebook version. Although I'm not really happy that I can't highlight them as I read them, so that's kind of a problem too. But it was still hard for me to get rid of books because my kids at the time were like 9 and 11 or 10 and 12 or even 12 and 14. And a lot of those were parenting books or books that I read while they were young children or formative books for kids growing up. But now that my kids are 14 and a half and 16, it's something like something clicked last year where I was like, I'm never going to go back to those books again. I'm never going to go back to that special diet. I mean, they are really young adults now. I almost need different parenting books now. And any of the books that I read for pleasure, I'm not going to read again. Some of the business books I do. But I'm thinking it's time to really get rid of the majority of those books. Along those lines, I realized that I have bookshelves in every single room of my house. I have a bookshelf in my bedroom. I have three in the loft. I have two in the living room. I have two in the family room. I have two in the basement family room. I have one in our storage room. And then I have a whole closet, which is just bookshelves in the basement that holds all of my business supplies. I have a bookshelf in our guest room. I'm like, for crying out loud, I need to get rid of bookshelves also when I get rid of books. Another one is storage containers. So my kids are 14 and a half and 16, and I have been through organizing my house for 3 years now. And what I've done every year is I do the 40 Weeks, One Whole House challenges. I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff. I am out of the accumulating phase of life, and I'm into the survival phase, and eventually I'll be in downsizing. Downsizing really won't be a phase for me, I don't think, because I'm kind of doing it in the survival phase as well. I'm just continually purging, getting better at letting go of my stuff. When I was in the accumulation phase of life with young kids, I needed a ton of storage containers because, like, every 3 months I would go through their toys and their toys would be totally different. So I'd need different size storage containers for their toys. Or, goodness gracious, Abby is like her own little pet store. She's always got some different pet. Currently, we have two gerbils, a dog, a guinea pig, and now she wants hermit crabs, whatever. She always needs storage containers for all the food and hay and bedding that all of those creatures need. And she primarily is the only person that's going down in the basement and getting storage containers anymore. I am continually using up we have, only buying what I need. I don't buy in bulk anymore. I don't buy. So like, okay, I'm going to start scrapbooking. Let's create a whole scrapbooking room and let's fill it with scrapbooking paper. I'm not shopping like that anymore. When I do a scrapbooking project, I go out and I buy what I need for that project. And there might be some left over at the end, but I'm not creating a whole craft room. So I don't really need storage containers. So I plan on taking whatever I have to all of my jobs I have coming up and using those on those jobs and not replacing it at home. I can't read my own writing. I'll have to come back to... Oh, my skis. Oh, this is so funny. You guys, this is so funny. Hopefully you can laugh along with me on this one. Okay, so... I was probably in fourth grade when my mom took us skiing for the first time. We grew up in Akron, Ohio, and they have these little tiny hills. And we went to this place. It wasn't Brandywine. It was the other one. They're both on the same hill, you know, two different ski places. So we went there, and we rented skis, and we skied up and down this little tiny bunny slope for like 3 hours, and it was 55 degrees in rain. So we had to wear like trash bags. So we looked like little California raisins coming down the hill. And my mom said, well, if the kids will ski for 3 hours in cold rain, they're skiers. And she took us and bought us ski boots, skis, the whole nine yards. And we were in ski club and we skied for years and we were in high school. We even went to Colorado. When Greg and I met, we went on ski trips every year for a couple of years. And after we got married, I think we skied once or twice, but we really haven't skied in 20 years. And then a few years ago, the kids started skiing and I went and I skied with them. I was like the parent chaperone and I would be out skiing. Those boots and skis that my mom bought for me 30 years ago are the same boots and skis that I skied on with my son. He, if he goes skiing now, does not need a skiing chaperone because he's 16 and our daughter does not like to ski. And a couple of years ago, when I was still the skiing chaperone, I was maybe 38, 39 on my 30-year-old skis, and I went out and I was skiing. I was like, you know, I'm really sore when I'm done skiing the next day. I was going down the hill and I almost fell or something, and I didn't. I got to the bottom. I thought, you know what? I'm done with it. I'm over it. Like, I really don't want to fall skiing and break my leg and be out of commission for 6 months. I think I'm done skiing. But of course, I put the skis and the boots right back in the basement, right? You know, like where they go. My husband got rid of his skis and boots about 5 years ago. Here's the thing. It's time to get rid of the skis and boots. If we do go on a skiing trip with our kids, it's not going to be in Cincinnati. It's going to be Colorado, or it's going to be somewhere that has something bigger than a hill to ski on, number one. Number two, everyone else in my family is going to have to rent boots and skis. So I'm going to be the one that's going to save us $70 by carting my own, but everybody else is going to rent. That's ridiculous. And three, I'm pretty sure that they make boots and skis differently now than they did 30 years ago. And maybe I'd feel better at the end of the day if I was skiing in more current equipment. So all that to say, I'm getting rid of my skis and my boots. Next, encyclopedias. I'm not really sure about this one, but here's the story about encyclopedias. And I am telling you all of these stories because I know you are out there going, oh my gosh, she's so right. I want you to hear why I want to save it, how I'm deciding to get rid of it, where it's going. Okay, so encyclopedias. I think I've already shared this story. When I was in eighth grade and my grandfather died, he had 1964 encyclopedias in his house, and somehow we got them. I was so excited. So it was 1985, and I had 1964 encyclopedias, which I loved. And I would read the encyclopedias. I thought it was so cool. I wish we had current encyclopedias, but really what I know now is information in encyclopedias doesn't really change that much, so it was fine. These were white encyclopedias, and I think my parents finally decluttered them or something when I was in high school or college. So the encyclopedia door-to-door salesman came to our house when Joey was a baby, like 6 months old. Came in, did the whole spiel about how you need to have these encyclopedias for your kids and these other books that came with it. I want to say it was like $2,000 or $3,000. It was ridiculous. And I was going to be the best mother, and I possibly was going to homeschool, and I was an educator, and my child was going to be so smart, and we were going to have blah, 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 blah. And we bought it. Maybe it was $1,600, whatever. It was a payment plan to get these encyclopedias, and they're beautiful, and they're red, and they're world book. So we bought the encyclopedias. And yes, the kids have used them a little bit over the years, but only when I've said, let's go look that up in the encyclopedia and send it into school. And I've actually read these encyclopedias too. Like, I love encyclopedias. Here's the thing. Nobody's reading the encyclopedias. I'm not reading the encyclopedias. They're now 15 years out of date. Not that that really matters, because encyclopedias, I don't think, really do go out of date. My kids look up everything on, you know, their iPad and all of that. We don't need these encyclopedias. They're big and they're bulky and they need to go. So I'm going to have to ask my husband if these can go, but I really think that I am finally ready to get rid of the encyclopedias. Okay, the next one, our expensive stereo system. So when I was in high school, again, notice these, everything I'm talking about is like 30 years old. This is exactly what I'm talking about. These are the things that you and I need to be looking at in our house. Nobody's going to tell us it's time to get rid of the fake trees and the encyclopedias and jewelry. That's all in our domain. We are going to have to hold ourselves accountable, walk around the house and go, seriously, you don't need it. You're not using it. Eventually, someone else is going to have to take this out of your house. Let's decide. So let's talk about the expensive stereo system. I babysat for kids 7th grade, 8th grade, all through high school, even in college. When I came home, I babysat. That's how I made my money. And I spent my money on fast food and electronics. And at the time in 1988, I was obsessed with this store called, I think it was called Audiocraft. And it was a stereo store. And if you've ever seen Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation, and you know the icicle that shoots through that the rich neighbor's house and it breaks the stereo system, that stereo system was sold at that time, because that's when that movie was made, at Audiocraft. And it was like this whole slick laser thing. And so I saved up all my babysitting money, and I bought a $2,000 stereo system in 1988. It was a Yamaha system. It had, you can tell how much I love it. It has a 5-disc CD spinner that was like so new then. Like that was so new. And then it had a tape to tape. So you could tape from one tape to the other, because this is back when you would make tapes off of the radio. And then you would dub that tape. So like you'd make these special tapes for prom or for your boyfriend or whoever. And then you can make copies of those tapes. So it has that. And it has the stereo part, and it had the speakers and blah, 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 blah. Well, about 10 years ago, the tape to tape part, no one's listening to tapes, and I'm not making tapes from tapes, and who would even play a tape? You can't even get a tape player anymore. I put that in the basement, because who knows? It's part of the system. I might need it. I don't need that. Number one, that can go. Number two, the last two Christmases, which is the only time I use the stereo system, every single CD that I put in the CD player skips. But then this Christmas, I realized, you know what? I don't think those CDs are skipping. I think the CD player doesn't work anymore. And this thing is big. Like, it's not gigantic, but it's a big old stereo system. And I cannot even tell you how many basements we have organized where we are carrying out big old stereo systems that people put in the basement because they don't really work anymore, or they got a new one and they keep the old one in the basement. And what I think I need to do, what I know I need to do, well, first of all, I need to take the CDs that skip in there and then play them in the car and see if they skip in the car. And I'm pretty sure they don't skip in the car. It's time to get rid of the whole stereo system. It's just time to get rid of it. I have a small stereo that has great sound that I can put in there. They'll just play one CD at a time and decide what we're going to do going forward. But I don't play our stereo all the time. And it's really time for that to go. Then one of the hard ones, this is number 10. Is old pictures and picture frames. So we'll have things custom framed, like pictures and collages custom framed, and then after we stop displaying them in our house, they go in the basement. They don't match the decor anymore. They're not going to match future decor, but I can't get rid of them. I don't know why. I don't know what my problem is. Or picture frames. So just today I met with Carol, my organizing partner, but she's also an interior decorator, and we started talking about decorating my house, which we need to start like over. Every room, we just have to start over. And it's going to take 12 to 18 months to repaint and decorate this house. And that's what I wanted to. I wanted to take a while. But when we are done, or as we are taking pictures off the wall in the room, right now I'm sitting in my bedroom, I am looking at two pictures. And I explained this to Carol today. 12 years ago, I had the babies with me. I was shopping with a friend. We were at Old Time Pottery, and I found these two pictures for $35 each. It was in my budget. I had no artwork in our bedroom, and I bought them. They're two pictures of palm trees. I never loved them, but they totally match the room. My husband's from Florida. We like to go to Palm Springs. I thought it would be fine. They have now sat in my bedroom for 12 years. I don't really like them. Like, they totally work. Like, they work. But I don't love them. I'm not in love with them. And when I redo the artwork in this room with something that I love, that I've taken the time to pick out and really redo this room, not just because I want something on the wall, these don't have to go in the basement. They can go to, you know, a resale shop. I could sell them on Craigslist. I can give them away, whatever. They don't need to go in the basement. So my goal is, at the end of 18 months, that I won't have any picture frames in my basement, that my house will be completely decorated and everything that's left will be gone. Now I have one extra one, number 11, of something that we're getting rid of. And this is something I've been asking my husband to get rid of for the whole 20 years that we've lived in this house. And it is his weight bench and weights. So when I met my husband, he had been a wrestler and cross country, and he was lifting weights with a friend at a gym. But he owned a weight bench and weights, which I'm pretty sure he used in high school and college in his parents' basement. But they had moved to his condo. He didn't use them in the condo. They were in storage. And then after we got married, they moved here to our house, and we've never moved. So they've been in our basements this entire time, of which he has not lifted one weight. So every time I say, can we get rid of these? It's, well, you know, I'm gonna bulk up. I'm going to do that. You know, and then it was, well, Joey, you know, we're going to have to do this with Joey and this will be great. And Joey does not lift weights. He's not a weightlifting type guy. So Joey's now 16 and Greg is 48. And last night I was like, can we get rid of this? I'd asked last month, can we please get rid of it? No, I want to keep it a little while longer. So we're in the basement looking at our brand new air conditioner and heater system, which is what you do in your 40s, is look at your brand new appliances. And I said, you see these weights? Can I get rid of them now? And he goes, yeah, fine, get rid of them. I was like, yes. And I was so excited because I've wanted to get rid of those for so long. But yet it took me, oh, it was really hard for me to come up with the 10 things that are just like that weight bench that I need to get rid of. So I'm not saying you have to go through and find 10 things like mine that you need to get rid of. And you could see a couple of these things are going to take me 12 to 18 months to get rid of them. But mentally today, I decided they're going. Over the next 18 months, all of these things will be gone out of my house eventually. And I think that's part of it. I always tell you, the mindset thing is part of it, and then the actions follow. So I hope today I've given you some ideas of things that you can now go ahead and let go so that future generations don't have to decide what to do with your fake trees and all of your jewelry and the daycare center plans that your grandfather made for you. They won't even know what it is when they look at them, right? But make these things that you love and you've saved for 20, 30 years memorable going forward. Go ahead and take all the jewelry that you no longer will wear and melt it down and turn it into another piece of jewelry. Take pictures like I'm going to of the daycare center plans. Pack away the figurines that you're not sure you want anymore, but you're not sure you want to get rid of either. You know, ask your spouse, your kids, your significant other, whoever you need to, before you get rid of things like encyclopedias and stuff like that. But it's the memories we have that we talk about with friends. We don't actually physically go get the encyclopedias when we tell people the encyclopedia story, right? All right. Well, I don't really have any more to say about that other than I'm right there with you. I am making all these hard decisions with you. We're all getting more organized every single day. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.